It's overtime on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Evening, folks. Thanks for staying up with us. It's Danny Ruye here. Overtime on the Fan. Bodie Bottas on the ones and twos. Austin Grill is in the back eating tacos. 800-636-1067 is the number. As promised, we're going to talk hockey because it's damn near hockey season, and there's no one better to talk hockey with than our buddy JP, the Grand Jefe of Japer's Rink, one of the best hockey blogs that I'm aware of. JP, what's up, my friend?
Not much. How you doing?
Great, man. Thanks so much for taking the time tonight. You guys are obviously running the open thread here of the preseason game against Nashville. Anything we learned tonight that we didn't know before?
I don't think that much has gone on. Apparently, Braden Holtby is going to be recalled from Hershey tomorrow. Michael Neuwirth nursing a minor injury, so he's going to be given the day off tomorrow. But I don't think that you're going to be learning too much from tonight's game. Not too much coming out of that.
JP, the acquisitions to me this offseason, it was a different pattern of acquisition that we've seen from the Capitals the last couple of years. They've added veterans at the deadline in years past. It's now they brought in those guys early. Is it signal in your mind of a cultural change that needs to happen for this team to kind of keep the hammer down in the regular season?
You know, I think that all these moves were made with an eye on the postseason. You know, it's a team that obviously hasn't struggled much at all in the regular season the past couple of years, but just haven't been able to get over the hump come playoff time. So they went out and they got guys, and you know, the common thread amongst these guys, besides a little bit of experience, is that these guys make the Caps a tougher team to play against. You got a banger like Troy Brouwer, good defensive forward like Joel Ward, a versatile defenseman like Roman Hamrlich that can play in any situation. Jeff Halpern replaces Boyd Gordon as a checking center. And then, you know, the sort of Christmas in July was Tomas Bokun, who's just an absolutely fantastic goaltender and comes to Washington and signs for next to nothing because he was, you know, he was left standing when the music on the musical chairs stopped for goalies in free agency, and he needed a team, and he came to Washington and made them a deal, an offer they couldn't refuse.
JP, if you wouldn't mind, 2 years ago, the Capitals' power play was lethal. I mean, they were unbelievable on the power play, and Montreal kind of took that away in the playoffs, and that, to me, was one of the main reasons why they struggled. Last year, a big setback, it seemed, on the power play. Was it as simple as Mike Green not being healthy? Is there something that they've added in this offseason that's going to help their power play?
You know, part of it was Mike Green being out. Part of it was just dumb luck. You know, their shooting percentage dropped significantly on the power play, and you know, I think there'd be some reason to expect that they'd, just by virtue of luck, be a little better there. You know, part of it is that they had gotten predictable. Maybe Alex Ovechkin back there on the point wasn't working anymore, and you know, now they've got Dennis Wiedemann there, they've got Roman Hamrlich there, they've got John Carlson there, and obviously, you know, Mike Green. So I think you'll see a lot more of Ovechkin on the half boards or down low, and you know, defensemen on the points. So I think also they were squeezing their sticks a little. You know, once you start struggling there, you start focusing a little harder and squeezing the stick, and sometimes you get in your own head, and you know, before you know it, you're ice cold on the power play. But you know, without question, it is, if not the primary area of concern, it's certainly right up there, because if they can't get the power play working again, you know, they're going to be running into a lot of the same problems.
I am certainly a man that knows a thing or two about getting in his own head. JP joins us here on the McDonald's Hotline of the Japer's Rink blog of some renown. JP, you mentioned this Vokun situation. How big of a deal is that for folks? I mean, I talked to a lot of guys. I would call them, to be honest with you, novice Capitals fans, and they're super excited about what they saw from Nuvi last year in the brief call up, or not brief. I mean, 10, 12 games,
sure.
That Holtby, that run that he went on, and how good he was. And it's all the future. But when does the future actually come if it keeps getting pushed back year in and year out for these guys? I mean, explain to these folks out there who may just be kind of new to this whole thing how big a deal it is that they got Thomas Vokoun.
It's huge. It gives them something that they haven't had here. When Crystal Ball UA came back in 2008, he had a good run. But come playoff times, he kind of regressed to the goalie that he is. So in Vokoun, you have probably the best starting goaltender that the Washington Capitals have had since, Olli Kolzig's Vezina year, maybe. They were prepared to go with Michael Neuvirth as their goalie. I think that had it been Neuvirth and Holtby, I think they probably would have gone out and gotten a veteran backup so that Holtby could, get the playing time he needs to develop down in Hershey. But they were comfortable going with those guys. And then Vokoun fell into their laps. And this is a guy who has essentially led the league in save percentage since the lockout. About one or two, ten thousandths of a point behind Tim Thomas in that category. But this is a guy who's calm, veteran presence, and the guys in front of him, they'll be confident. They know what they're going to get from this guy in a way that even as well as any of the Neuvirth, Holtby, or even Varlamov played when he was there. Those guys are all still kids. They're youngsters, and they don't instill the level of confidence in the team playing in front of them that a guy like Vokoun does.
JP, does this hurt some of those young kids' development at all to kind of be, have someone cut in front of them for a year? Or is this the type of thing where it's just part of the game?
Well, I think it is part of the game. I think it's a good thing, actually. I mean, Neuvirth and Vokoun are both Czechs. Neuvirth grew up idolizing Vokoun, and now he gets to learn from him. And Neuvirth, for his part, he's not taking number two denomination he's taking it well and very professionally, but he's out there, he's a competitor, and he wants to be the number one goalie, whether it was Patrick Waugh in front of him, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who it is in front of him. He's going to play his hardest, and he's going to play well, and you've seen some of that already in the preseason. So I think learning from a guy like Vokoun, and now that Dave Pryor is back as the goalie coach and Olli Kolzig is going to be helping out with the goalies as well, I think that the Neuvirth's development and Holtby's development can only be helped by this. They're both still very young guys. They still will get the work they need to get to develop, and they get these added benefits of having this veteran leader there.
JP, let me turn it to this way. I argued, and I think you probably overruled me because you know a lot more about this than I do, but I argued last year after the Capitals failed to get past Tampa Bay and had a pretty poor showing in the playoffs that they'd gone as far as they could with Bruce Boudreau. I think all these guys had heard all his rhetoric and his ramping up of the intensity and whatever else kind of rang empty given all the optional workouts and all the optional attendance stuff and guys coming in out of shape and him kind of allowing that that culture that Jason Arnott was so shocked to find when he came here to Washington. And I think you basically said, Danny, I think your quote was, "You're a stupid idiot, don't talk anymore, you're embarrassing yourself." But but we've seen now this hardcore Bruce Boudreau. Are we buying this? Do you think this Washington Capitals team can go from knowing that this is how the guy was for so long, and now we're ramping up the intensity where everyone's going to be in tremendous shape and no more optional workouts and all this, that, and the other thing? Do you think it's going to ring hollow, or do you think it's going to work?
Well, first of all, you must have me confused with somebody else, because I actually put a post up on our site saying that it's time to change the guy behind
the scenes. Is that right? Do I have you wrong? I apologize, JP.
No.
It was literally everyone else in the world calling me an idiot.
Yeah, I think they were calling me that, too, for running that. When George McPhee decided to keep Bruce Boudreau, he sent a message that it wasn't about the coach, it was about the players. And, whether that message is being received, they've ratcheted up the sort of conditioning and endurance parts of their off season. You know, they've spoken to some of the key players and make sure they're focused, and you know, make sure that they know that they're not kids anymore. You know, that Ovechkin and Backstrom and Green and Semin, that everyone calls them the young guns, they're not so young anymore.
You right.
know, it's time to grow up and start delivering, and I think that they're receiving that message. I think ultimately it is on those players, and we talked about the free agents that they brought in earlier when we were talking. But ultimately, you know, it's on the Ovechkins and Backstroms and Greens and even Alex Semin and some of these foundational guys. Bruce Boudreau can do so much. You know, I think that it still remains to be seen whether he can make the adjustments within a series that it takes. You know, I think in Montreal you saw him get out coached in that series, and you know, didn't make the adjustments they needed to get pucks past Yaroslav Halak in against Tampa. You know, I think he was probably out coached again as they got quickly swept out of that series. So there absolutely are questions, and we talked about getting the power play back on track. You know, there absolutely are legitimate questions about Bruce Boudreau's abilities to coach up this team, but at the same time, you know, these are grown men. You know, if they need a pep talk or something, they're in the wrong line of work. They need to internalize some of these defeats and, you know, come out a little more focused, a little more ready, and take care of their business, you know, whether it's you or me or Bruce Boudreau behind the bench.
JP from Japers Rink, kind enough to take some time tonight joining me on the McDonald's Hotline. Last one for you, JP. Obviously a glut of forwards and some guys with some versatility. If you think about Brooks Like and you know, maybe Johansson and Matthew Perreault and some of these young guys mixing in with some of these veterans, how do you expect these lines to shake out? I mean, you know, we've heard talk from you know, Brouwer being up with the first line at times, maybe Semin, maybe it's the second line. How do you expect these line combinations to play out if you had to put your money on it?
I think you've got obviously Ovechkin and Semin, though, are two top six wingers. Knubel and Brouwer are probably the other top six wingers, unless Brooks likes playing wing, which he seems to be. And then Johansson and Backstrom are your top two-line centers. And you can pretty much, you know, put all the names in a hat and draw out the lines however you want.
Mix and match, yeah.
From that. I mean, that's what Bruce Boudreau seems to do on a nightly basis. You know, he shakes it up. If things aren't working, he'll shake up the lines, and if things aren't working again, he'll shake up the lines, you know. So I think those guys, those are probably seven forwards for six spots in the top six. I personally like the idea of Brooks Like centering the third line rather than being a wing on one of the top two lines. But Bruce seems a little more comfortable having him as a left wing on the second line. So I think maybe that's where he ends up. You know, Mike Knubel maybe gets bumped down. I don't think he's going to be as effective playing in a role on a non-scoring line. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
Gotcha. JP at Japers Rink on Twitter and japersrink.com. They do a hell of a job covering the Washington Capitals, a place I stop by pretty much every day during the season. JP, appreciate the time tonight, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Thanks so much. There he goes. All right. You heard JP, you've heard me. Capitals prognosis. What is going to happen with this team this year? Only a couple weeks away, guys, from the start of the regular season. The best team in Washington, they're ramping it up. To me, I look at this roster, and you heard JP mention it as well, they've got a good problem to have with a lot of versatility, a lot of active forwards. It's line combinations. I think sometimes Bruce Boudreau maybe gets in his own head and overthinks it, doesn't even know who to play where at some point because he likes to mix and match. How do you think this is going to shake out? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Taking your Caps predictions here on The Fan.